Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me this week is my father. We actually saw each other quite a bit this weekend down in Virginia for a family event.
Yo.
Hey, Dad, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Yeah, so driving back up from Virginia, we were able to do the whole listening to the Steelers radio network, all their different affiliates, driving up through Pennsylvania. It actually did pretty well. At first, I had some trouble, but by halftime, I was able to find a good couple signals.
And how do you like the homie announcers?
Everybody's got their own. We were driving down to Virginia on Friday, and it was the Cardinals-Dodgers game. And I could only get the Cardinals feed on satellite radio.
Okay.
Mike Shannon, who's the main play-by-play, I guess he took over for Jack Buck when he died, X amount of years ago. Oh, he's such a homer. Every time the Cardinal hits a ball, like, deep into the outfield, he goes, get up, get up, get up, come on, baby. Like, it's just...
Right.
I don't know. Anytime I get it, because now it's the baseball playoffs, I listen to, on the satellite radio, you can have either team's feed... And then the national broadcast, like ESPN Radio.
Yeah.
And that's what I like to do. I like to do the ESPN Radio because you get, it's a little more balanced. It's, it's nice that
way.
For the Mets, I want to listen to the Mets broadcast, but others.
Right. And everyone else feels the same way.
I know. There are just some real homer announcers that just only root for the, and television
for a
too.
Bit much.
Yeah. The guy in Chicago, Hawk Harrelson. The old baseball player for the Chicago White Sox. He always talks in like the first person, or like we got to score some runs here. We got to do this. We have to.
Yeah, well, it's like fans listening. We need to do. I'm thinking we can't even get free parking.
That's true. How involved am I?
I don't even know who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Well, we put too much into sports. It's all that emotion thing. I don't know what it's about.
Well, part of it's an escape, because, depending on what you're doing in your work or in your, regular life, something you want to relax and you want to, feel intense about something, or you want to have those strong feelings. Just like the same reason, it's around Halloween, the same reason people like to be scared, because that feeling, that rush they get from being scared.
Right.
Same way with something like sports or something that you're watching. You want to be involved and you want to get into it, so you want to cheer and you want to celebrate. And, in a very, very tiny and small way and not that frequent, you'll kind of want to feel, that includes sadness or, being upset from a loss.
Right.
Something like that. So anytime you can feel anything, emotion's a big part of sports. The competitive drive as well. And also on the way up, driving back, I was able to listen because I couldn't get the Steelers-Jets game at first, so I had on satellite radio, and I was able to get Packers at Ravens.
Really?
Yeah. So that one was pretty good. Packers didn't do much with the ball until, third quarter.
Yeah. Well, they don't seem to be a complete team.
No. I mean, they were missing Matthews, but there's more than just that. And they lost two of their wide receivers. There's a lot not going really well for Green Bay this year.
Yeah, they don't have the... Yeah. But I think a lot of teams are finding themselves in that position. Atlanta, Giants. I mean, a lot of teams. But I'm looking at how horrible the Redskin defense is. Oh, watching any of that game was painful.
Oh, yeah, the Sunday night game.
Yeah, but then again, I think they're 10. Is there 10 or more million behind in the penalty for paying players earlier in 2010 or something?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, they got some kind of cap, less money to spend, but... I mean, the defense is non-existent. The secondary is just, they mill it in. It's horrible. It's horrible to watch.
It's tough. There's no real shutdown defense anymore. I think...
Well, that's true. It's not a shutdown. But if you look in the standings, the ones that are giving up the least points are doing well.
That's true. You got to score more than you give up.
A resemblance of defense is helpful.
Yeah.
And then you got teams like... Tampa Bay, this and that. They just have no offense at all.
No, they don't. Yeah, things are getting bad down in Tampa. I think the third player to come down with MRSA from their locker room happened.
Right.
Just the losing. Shiano's coming under fire again. They're talking about how they're not using Revis right. Like he's playing zone. He's not playing shadow coverage.
He doesn't play offense, so
it's true.
That's what their problem is.
Yeah, exactly. He can defend it, but he probably couldn't catch it on the offensive side of the ball.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, it's easy to point fingers when you lose them.
Yeah, because, you know, nothing's going your way.
Right. Now, it's crazy. This week, there's only two matchups of winning teams.
Really?
In the entire league this week. This is week 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only thing I see here is Lions, Bengals, and Broncos, Colts.
Which that's going to be the big game. That's what everybody's focused on. It's the Sunday night game.
Yeah, and it looked like the Colts looked ahead to this a little bit, too.
Yeah, you know what the thing about that is? That was their second trip out to California. That can take a lot out of you. I mean, the same thing with the Seahawks. They had two road games, you know, in the middle of the country, and they're coming from Seattle, not a central location. So that's what I kind of figured. So I had a feeling that, you know, Indianapolis would lose the game. I didn't think that they would, but, it was a thought that...
Or nine points?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's hard to make.
I think San Diego is one of those teams that might fight for a wild card spot in, like, the middle of December, but probably not make it. But they could. Maybe they just had that much of a turnaround with, McCoy as their coach.
Right.
I don't know. So it's definitely something to see how they do the second half of the year. Because they're doing okay this year.
True.
But something to keep their eye on. So, yeah, and, you know, Colts are at home. They're hosting Denver. Which I was surprised that Jacksonville had quite the puncher's chance halfway through that game.
Early.
They were only down by 2. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And they had that was a huge line on them.
I mean, yeah. And they didn't cover it.
I know.
But it was close.
Which was hard to believe. But yeah, they got close, but then Denver opened it up. So, yeah, so that's going to be a good game. Denver at Indy.
Yeah, that line is 6. Colts at home getting 6.
I don't know. That's a good question. Because I think the Colts will bounce back better than 9 points. I don't know. But I could also see Peyton really want to put in a show on, but not too much. You know, he doesn't want to embarrass.
He doesn't?
No. He doesn't want to embarrass. Apparently, it just came out now that he told Irsay, draft luck.
Yeah. Well, isn't that nice to say now? But, like Irsay was wondering, gee, I wonder what I'm really going to do. I mean, come on.
I mean,
the whole world knew he was drafted. Yeah, that was big of him, huh?
Right. But at the same time, it's tough to be like, look, we're going to get rid of this, the best player to wear a Colts uniform in Indianapolis, and the best since Johnny Unitas. We're just going to get rid of him. You know, he might come back well, or he might not come back at all with his neck surgery. But we're still just going to let him go. You know, that can be tough. And we're also looking at it in hindsight because, you know, Peyton's doing so well last year and this year.
Well, neither of them have won anything yet.
No, not yet. It's only been 2
exactly.
years.
Exactly. I mean, the last time I saw it, the Steelers beat the... what did they do last year? They lost to the Ravens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Denver lost to the Ravens.
Right.
And the Colts lost the Ravens as well. So Luck and Manning were 0-2 against the Ravens last year in the playoffs.
Well, there you go. So was Brady.
Yeah.
That's quite a number they took down.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now look at them. They looked worse for the wear.
Yeah, Baltimore's having a little trouble this year.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at some of these things with the salary cap, and it was revealed that the Giants, 3 players, have 1/3 of their yearly salary or whatever, and 7 people make up half of it.
Well,
53 salaries.
Yeah.
I mean, Roll's getting 9-point-something million this year.
Well, I mean, you know, they try really hard to put money into their defensive backs, into the defensive
backs.
Well,
the top players, I mean, son-in-law Chris Snee is making 10-something million this year.
That's right.
Manning's making 20 million. So the only guy in defense I saw really getting paid was Roll.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that the Giants, I can't think of the last time they had a very good defensive back or defensive backfield. You know, the last name that can pop into my head is Jason Sehorn. He wasn't even that good.
No, you're going way back.
Well, but can you think of another one they've had since?
Well, I mean, who has a good secondary anymore? I mean, the rules are ridiculous.
Oh,
all I'm seeing is all kinds of offensive penalties, or, you know, I mean, against a favoring offense, defense with the helmet hitting. All this whole year is a little bit crazy.
Oh yeah, well, they want the offense and they want to protect those offensive moneymakers, because when you're watching commercials, you know, for every one commercial you see Clay Matthews, you see one with Calvin Johnson, you see one with Matthew Stafford, you see one with Breeze, with Brady, with Rodgers. So, you know.
Well, I'm thinking the way to really save money is put it all on offense and put cardboard cutouts for defense.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what the league's turning into. It's a laughingstock.
Well, it is. I would have to agree with that. But
that's what the people want.
Yeah. But also, I think the point was made, of all the coaches that were hired this past year, they were all offensive coaches.
Right.
You know, and Lovie Smith, who had a very successful tenure in Chicago, he didn't go anywhere. He's not even an assistant somewhere.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's a totally offensive league. You know, the only defensive coaches that are left were, you know, hired X amount of years ago. Belichick and Ryan. I mean, Ryan's already in his fifth year. It's all about the offense.
Right.
But yeah, just looking at the schedule this week, I know the Jets have to host New England again. I'd love for them to beat them, but I never know. But yeah, the Cincinnati at Detroit game, Cincinnati. Thad Lewis up in Buffalo, he did pretty well for his debut, but then he got injured again. He got injured, so now they're out another quarterback in Buffalo.
Well, like we said early in the year, when you have four quarterbacks, you really don't have any.
That's true, and they just signed Matt Flynn. He's probably going to end up playing like one game, and then E.J. Manuel will come back, and you know, Flynn will be sent on his way. And they're at Miami. So, you know, that's a divisional matchup. That could be pretty good.
True.
And Cleveland at Green Bay. Cleveland's 3-3.
And they're getting 10.5 to Browns.
Wow. Yeah, those two back-to-back wins gave them a lot of confidence, but I don't think they could keep that up.
So. And their quarterback got hurt. Hoyer, the guy that they were really looking forward to and some real success with.
Yeah, now a lot of these young quarterbacks, they just can't stay healthy.
Well, that was the same, wasn't that the same week that the Cleveland lost that play-in game, the Indians?
Yeah, the Indians, yes.
And then the quarterback went down, so the mistake by the lake is feeling the pain.
It's so tough to be a Cleveland fan, it really, really is.
In anything.
I mean...
Even the Cavaliers?
Even the Cavaliers. I mean, you know... I think it's been said that Cleveland is the only city that has so many sporting notoriety based off of like one word phrases, you know,
yeah,
the
disaster.
Fumble, the comeback, and then with LeBron the decision, you know,
right.
Say, you know, Cleveland.
Yeah, they lose out.
Yeah, they lose out. I think they're probably the most tortured sports city. You know, there's so much that has not gone right for them. You know, with the Cavaliers, I mean, they're pretty good, but when they had LeBron, he was an otherworldly talent.
Sure.
You know, now they just have very good players, but nobody that they are looking at right now that can say this will bring us five championships or something.
Right. They're not a major market.
No, they're not. They're not. There are fewer and fewer major markets now, and the ones that are major, they're pretty set up for the long haul. You know, New York has seven. You know, different franchise. You know, 7 or 11 different sports franchises. Boston, you know, Los Angeles. Except for football. San Francisco, except for hockey. Technically, they have San Jose, but you know, there are some major markets, and then there are just some. You used to be a major market, but yeah, there are a couple of good games this week. Who do you like for the spread?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of games that don't really look that competitive, but as far as the important, like I say, the Broncos-Colts thing, I mean, you want to root for the Colts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Peyton's got everything going for him. I'm not really going to go against him until the weather changes. He's going to be in a dome in a familiar place. People are going to show him the love. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be the type of crowd that's going to cheer when he throws a touchdown.
Vice versa, yeah. So, yeah, so 6 doesn't seem like a lot to cover, even though it's on the road. So I'm looking at that. And, of course, with the Lions and the Bengals, I'm liking the Lions at home.
Yeah, I could see that. They came off a really good win at Cleveland.
Yeah.
They're coming home. Cincinnati has played well against, they played well against Green Bay, and now they're going.
But the question is, will the AFC dominance continue, you know, with these matchups with the NFC?
Yeah, that can be really tough. Yeah, I could see Detroit winning at home and also covering.
Right. Now, the Titans interest me. They're at home getting 4 against the 49ers.
Right.
So that's an AFC home team again.
San Francisco having to travel east
but
again.
They should be getting it in gear by now.
They should. I mean, it was a closer game score-wise than it actually turned out to be. I mean, there were a couple moments where Arizona looked like they could actually threaten, but you really had no doubt that San Francisco was going to pull it out. I mean, Vernon Davis had a huge game.
Now, the Steelers finally get a win. They beat the Jets. Now they're favored at home against the Ravens by 2.
I mean, that's the kind of matchup of, like, two old drunk guys at a bar.
It's a slobber knocker?
Oh, absolutely. Like, these are two teams that are barely hanging on for their lives. And they're just going up against each other. I mean, that's...
They know each other.
They know each other. They hate each other.
Right.
Yeah, they just can't take each other. They can't stand each other. And so they're just...
You'd want to see it?
Yeah. I mean, because that's a 4 o'clock game.
Right.
The only other games are San Fran at Tennessee, Houston at Kansas City, and Cleveland at Green Bay. So probably end up seeing that game anyway.
Now, what about the Giants favored? I have no wins, and they're actually favored by 3 over the Vikings.
I think legitimately.
Vikings are in shambles.
Yeah, I think the Giants legitimately are going to win that game at home.
Right.
I mean,
Monday night.
Minnesota is struggling.
The seats will be full at Giants.
Yeah.
When do the fans stop coming?
When do the fans stop coming?
0-9.
I don't know. That's a good question. You know what? I think for New York, they would still come.
Because somebody, they'd give the tickets or sell them?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, because of the novelty of a winless team, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, the bid is over when they win a game. It's the same. It's, like, similar to, like, a no-hitter. You know, if you're pitching a no-hitter when the pitcher gives up a hit, then it's like, all right, now it's just a regular game. Like, score.
So this is... Yeah.
So I think that people will still want to come, not necessarily to see...
Like the reason they go to the freak show at the circus?
Yeah, kind of like that. Because you want to see it, because it's funny.
An oddity.
Right, yeah. Well, first of all, it's an oddity. I mean, there's only been, what, two times that an NFL team has gone winless in the regular season?
Right.
I mean, the Lions and I think the Buccaneers back in their inaugural season, I think.
Right.
It rarely happens. And it would especially be even rare for it to happen to a team like the Giants, who have won 2 Super Bowls under Coughlin and Eli Manning, and it's America's largest market, New York, the pinnacle of the big market team, and to see them go winless, I mean that's a big deal. It's funny, a team that goes completely winless, it's like an amazing, like, wow, that's a bad team. Or, you know, it's shocking. But a 1-15 team, that's just an that's a hideous team. That's awful. Oh, they're an embarrassment to the game. Meanwhile, 0-16 is, when was the last time you saw that?
Never.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
can't remember it.
Right. I mean, in baseball, it's the 1962 Mets.
Right.
You know, when they were, what, 40 and 120 losses.
Yeah, but they had 40 wins.
Exactly, they had 40 wins. And what did everybody call them? Lovable losers. I mean, how can you hate this team?
Well, they're not threatening.
No, exactly. And then, whereas if the team has just 100, like 62 and 100, that's an awful team. Why are they even playing the game? Send them all away. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it has that kind of look. So
how many did Houston win this year?
Oh, jeez.
The Astros.
In the 50s.
Oh, really?
I think they lost anywhere between 105 and 100.
Sure.
Yeah, I think 105 was around.
That's
about
hideous.
Yeah, like that's, oh my God, that's a horrible team.
That's hideous.
That's a hideous team. Whereas, you know, if they had not won a single game, if they went 0-162.
Oh, God, they'd be in the news all the time.
Right, but then you would be like, how did you lose? Like, people would want to watch every game just to see, how did they lose? Wait, they lost
today.
Yeah, they lost to the Knights. People would want
to 162 ways to lose.
Exactly. Whereas if you lose like a little bit over 100 games, you're just like, oh my gosh, just blow up the stadium, sell the team, you know, burn all your memorabilia, burn all your shirts with the team's name on it, and just get rid of them.
Right.
Okay, so San Francisco, Denver, and Detroit. I think those are good picks.
Well, let's see. It's hard to get a win in this league, and things can change quickly in the second half of these games.
Yeah, big time, especially the 1 o'clock games.
Gee.
Yeah, because there's so many of them. Because there's only a handful of 4 o'clock games now. There used to be like at least six. Now with the
slanted. It's all slanted to the east.
You know, I'm watching the baseball playoffs, like the Dodger games and stuff. I almost kind of envy people living on the West Coast. Like if I was living in California and I was a sports fan. I mean, on Sundays, football would start for me at like 10 a.m.
Nice.
And, you know, you could watch the Sunday night game starting at 5:30. And then, you know, when the game's over, you still have, it's only like 9 o'clock. I could stay up for a little while longer. Meanwhile, here on the East Coast, I have to, like, struggle just to, you know, watch a couple of these games.
Stay awake.
Yeah, it's tough. So I kind of envy a little bit the West Coast watching sports. You know, I mean, you watch, you know, the Cardinals-Dodgers, they're playing in L.A. It's sunshine out there.
Until that earthquake lets loose, they're going to be happier over here.
Yeah, there are some dangers living out there, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah, but you'll be first in fashion, too.
That is very true.
Everything comes West Coast to East.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just keeping track of the baseball playoffs.
Yeah, can Detroit do anything?
It's tough. I tell you what, three games all decided by one run.
But how about no hitters into the sixth inning?
That's amazing. Detroit has excellent pitch. They have legitimately two number one aces, and then two, you know.
Who won today?
The Red Sox won. They won 1-0.
Wow.
I mean, Verlander gave up a home run. He pitched seven innings, and he had a no-hitter for a while. He gave up a home run. He had 10 strikeouts.
Wow.
He had a scoreless streak in this year's playoffs of like 20 some odd innings.
Huge.
Oh, it was big time.
Now, what about the conspiracy theorists that believe that Boston people somehow caused the power to go out so that they could possibly get the starter out?
No, because apparently, the power.
It's just Detroit where you can't depend on any services.
Well, you know, the infrastructure there is kind of old, you know. You know, how many people, not a lot of people are really pumping money.
It's also abandoned.
Well, that too. Yeah, not a lot of people are putting money into the infrastructure of Detroit anymore.
No.
But I think I actually heard that back in September, there was a power outage too, on like a hot day or something. So it's happened before. It's not.
Right.
Yeah. And plus, it wouldn't chase a guy like Verlander. He's not the type of guy. And if they were going to do it, they should have done it either if it was a conspiracy. They should have either done it later in the game or when Verlander was actually pitching.
Oh, they said that about the Super Bowl, that it was done to get San Francisco back in the game. But people are always going to say this stuff.
You know what? But at the same time, I'm happy it happened because they did get back in the game.
Right.
And the last thing you want anymore is a Super Bowl that's lopsided. I mean, can you imagine today in 2013 watching a Super Bowl like the Niners over the Broncos 55-10?
Right.
Nobody's going to want to watch that. That'd be awful. And even if it is, even if it is the Super Bowl, people are going to turn that game off.
Yeah, but then again, they just have more hors d'oeuvres or more hot wings, or they'll find something to do.
That's true. There's plenty to do. So
it's a celebration.
Yeah. So
right, I like the championship games the best.
Because sometimes that might end up just being the Super Bowl itself, depending on the match.
I like it. I wish it was in some cases. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very competitive.
Oh, absolutely.
So now there's no sports on tonight, is there? Is there baseball on tonight?
Yeah, it's, right now Dodgers-St. Louis is on.
Oh, yeah, it's on?
Yeah,
is there a score?
No, it's zip-zip top of the second.
You like Atlanta? I mean, Los Angeles?
I would love Los Angeles. I don't want to see the Cardinals. No more Cardinals.
Enough, right?
I'm done with the Cardinals.
So what, L.A., L.A.-Boston?
L.A.-Boston?
That's what you want?
Yeah, that'd be great. That's what television executives one as well. I know.
Sure.
Yeah, I
East
know.
Coast, West Coast.
Yeah, and you know, it's just a better matchup.
Oh yeah, I keep that behind the Dodgers.
Yeah, because the other thing with the card, you know, the Cardinals are the new Yankees. Like you know, I've heard Yankee fans say, like, okay, now I know what other people were complaining about us with the Cardinals. Like, they can see it from the outside now. Like, oh, okay.
They want a fresh face.
Yeah. Look, they're very talented, and they do things, you know, the right way. But at the
True.
Same time, you know, sometimes...
No.
Sometimes it just gets annoying. Like, all right, yeah. I know. I get it. You guys do it the right way. None of the other teams can.
Yeah.
You know, they hold the market on, you know, doing things the old-fashioned and the classic and the...
But we still want, even though we like the restaurant, we want the menu to change now and then.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Okay, go Dodgers.
That's what I'm saying. Go Dodgers. Go Blue.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. And with this past week of fantasy football, I had made the pickup of Mike Williams to replace Mike Wallace on the bye week. And Williams didn't even play. So that was a waste of a drop. And luckily, though, I had a monster game from Vernon Davis. Two really good games from DeSean Jackson and A.J. Green, as well as the San Francisco defense doing well. And I was able to pull a win out over my competitor. I won by 34 points. So, and I was worried because my competitor had Drew Brees on their team and a couple other good players, but I was able to squeak one out. And with this upcoming week, Mike Williams starts again, Aaron Rodgers, DeSean Jackson, A.J. Green. I'm pretty much going to start until the end of the season. I'm going to stick with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. Eddie Lacy had a really good game. I'm going to do Vernon Davis until he has a bad game, and even then I'll still stick with him. Garrett Hartley, who I just picked up for my kicker, goes on a bye week now. So I dropped Mike Williams, and I picked up Mason Crosby, the Green Bay kicker, because I figure he'll get a lot of opportunities to kick. And I'm torn between the San Francisco defense and the Vikings defense, because Vikings are playing the Giants, who aren't very good this season. But I have a fear that they may plow through this week and pull out a victory. San Francisco is at Tennessee without Jake Locker, so I like their chances there. You can like us on Facebook. You can find us on iTunes under Everyman Sports and on Facebook under Everyman Sports. You can find us at our website, everymansports.podbean.com. And you can also email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Thank you very much. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend. And goodbye.